Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this hot, incredible past week we've had. I tell you what, here in Iowa, we have had temperatures just amazing, almost hitting 100 degrees on Saturday. Just a work week was just, it was just brutal. I work construction, and I'm out in those elements, but man, was it ever a week. But again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and good to be with you again as you travel. Maybe you're traveling down the highway today, and you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. We want to thank you for listening. Just sit back as you travel this morning, because we're getting ready to start a new teaching series, and I'm really excited about this, and I just hope that it gives some inspiration, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you while you're traveling right down that highway. So I encourage you, please don't turn that channel. This is going to be some really good stuff this morning. Also, too, those of you on your way to church, blessings on you today in your travels and also inside your church as you meet and greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ. What a great opportunity is that fellowship between brothers and sisters in Christ and church. And also, too, those of you who are at home today, we want to give you a big shout out this morning. Thank you for listening, getting up, listening, and taking part of Vital Ministries and being a part of our time together. And it's just a good time of celebration. But but before we jump in this morning, just a few things just to remember of what's coming up. We've got a few items that will be coming up here really soon. Our next Vital Gathering will be at Debbie's Celebration Barn on September 11. That will be a combination of two things. We'll be doing a teaching, start kicking off a teaching series. And also, too, with that being said, we are going to be kicking off Vital Men. And I'm excited about that, because we're going to be doing a teaching series on King David and his life. And we're going to be doing that through the fall, going into the winter, up until the 1st of January. And I'm really excited about where we're going to go with that. So if you're part of that, you can go to our vitalministries.org website. Find out the nearest location to you. We are going to be in Knoxville, Oskaloosa, New Sharon, and in Ottumwa. And these Bible studies are directly just for men themselves. So if you men around in the area and you like to get plugged into a men's group that does some really incredible things and gets into the Word of God, and where we can actually go in and work through it. We wrestle with the Word of God. So just don't miss out on that event that's coming. Again, that's September 11th, our next Vital Gathering at Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa from 5 to 7 o'clock. And it will be a wonderful time together as we jump into fall. Believe it or not, folks, that is on the threshold. I heard the other evening, a few nights ago, I'm hearing the locusts and all those bugs at night that give those sounds out. They have started. I have seen some monarch butterflies on the move. That tells me that fall is on the way. And with that being said, that's one of my favorite seasons between spring and the fall. And what a great time in Iowa that we get to experience that as well. So you don't want to miss out. Again, September 11th. Also, too, we have devotionals that we send out 6 days a week, both Vital Life, which is the writer of my wife. You don't want to miss out on that good stuff. A nugget of inspiration for your day. You can go to vitalministries.org. Check that out. And also, too, Vital Men. We send out devotionals 5 days a week. Five different writers speak directly to men. And what a great time of inspiration and a chance to get with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe into your life to where the Word comes alive and you go out and you take that Word, and not only do you hear it, but you live it. And that's even more so. With that being said, those are just the announcements for today. Also, too, like any ministry, we need contributions to make it work. So if the Lord if the Spirit so moves you in such a way and you would like to contribute, you can go again to our vitalministries.org website. You can contribute right there, donate. There's a donate button. You can go on there and send a donation, or you can send it to a P.O. box, and that gives you all that information to help us out to do things like what we do on the radio and other ministries, because that's what it takes, folks, is money to make it survive. And I don't want to beat that drum hard, but we could sure use your help in any way that you possibly can. With that being said, we're going to start a new teaching series, which I'm really excited about this morning. It's called Roadmaps to the Kingdom of Heaven. And what I mean by that is we're gonna jump into Matthew chapter 5, and we're gonna break down the Beatitudes, and those are the places of where Jesus came and he spoke to his men, and out of that came a crowd of people who were listening. I actually had a chance to be in Israel two different times, and I was actually on the place of the Mount of Olives. And it was just a wonderful time of being there, and as I stood on that location and thinking this is the possibility of the place where Jesus did the famous Sermon on the Mount. And I had to, as I stood there, I tried to envision how it must have been for Jesus to sit on the hill. They call it a mountain, but folks, everything in Israel is truly in our perspective here with having 14ers in elevation of mountains in the Rocky Mountains. It was more so their mountains are more similar to what I would say like our mountains over along the east portion of the United States, the Appalachians and the Smoky Mountains and that sort of thing. But anyway, with that being said, that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what that mountain might have looked like. But Jesus would go, and that's where he would teach, and that would be the place that he would go and spend with his men. But let's open up with this first verse before we jump in today, because I think it's really, really important. It's going to show us something that I believe is going to give us some insight. It says this: one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up into the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. You know, that's one thing that, you know, as we look at this, I want you to think, I went on to The Choice. It's a place where The Chosen, where you can go to that teaching series, and just, they do such a phenomenal job. They've done season one, season two, season three is about to come out. And in that video portion of it, and there's a scene where Jesus goes and he comes up to Matthew, and Matthew, it's early of a morning, and Matthew's still resting, he's asleep. And Jesus goes up to Matthew and he wakes him up, and he wants to give him some instructions. He wants to take him. He says, I have a map that I want to talk to you about. I have a map that I want you to come and we're going to look at, which will give instructions. And in the series, it shows that Matthew tells Jesus, wait a minute, he wants to get to himself and also to get his writing material and everything put together. And they go out and they go up on the hillside, and he breaks down the Beatitudes, which he's going to later on share with his men and the mass of people who would come and hear what he has to say. But I want you to think about this for a minute, how it must have been for both Matthew and also too for Jesus at the same time. Here's Matthew. He's getting instructions. This is a map. This is a place of direction. I don't know about you, but maps are good for me. You know, a lot of times we get caught up, and today we don't necessarily have to have a roadmap or an atlas to go. All we got to do is call on Siri on our iPhones, and she will tell us the direction. You want to go to a direction, to a place, all you do is tell them the location of where you're wanting to go, and it will give you directions. Now, here's an interesting thing, though. Sometimes Siri doesn't always get the directions perfectly clear, and sometimes she may not take you to the right direction of the quickest way to go. But we get dependent on that, don't we? As we travel, we want to go off to our technology that gives us insight and direction. I know oftentimes as I go and I'll go see my daughter, and she lives in Colorado Springs, and her husband and three grandkids. And oftentimes when I go, when I get close to remember, now I do remember, but I often would have to put that into my phone, and that phone would tell me how to get there. Now, here's the thing. The phone works, folks, as long as you have internet access. But when you don't have internet access, it doesn't work. It stops. It will no longer tell you the direction where to go. So it's then that you have to have hopefully a roadmap or an atlas to guide you in for the rest of the way. But I think roadmaps and being technology of how we use it is really made such fast moves and gives us great direction on how to go to things. But see, also too, I look in the Bible where the Bible actually is the same thing. It's a roadmap. It's an atlas. It's a place of direction. If we really truly want to find God, we really want to come to the point where we see Jesus himself, we have to go to the roadmap, and that is to the Bible itself, but I want to read a portion of Scripture to you this morning, again, out of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to concentrate on this. This is my one and only point today, and we're going to be looking at not only the poor and financially, but also the poor in spirit. And Jesus says this in the very beginning of the Beatitudes. He says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need of Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Man, that's pretty amazing when you sit there and you think about that and seeing. So we see Jesus having concern for those that are poor. And I think that's really important. See, throughout the New Testament, there are numerous references to the poor itself. Many of these are found in the gospel, like we just read in Matthew and also Luke. See, there's a Greek word for poor. A Greek word that says poor. It's called potoshos. This refers to both to those who are financially and economically poor and those who are spiritually poor as well. See, both in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, it's full of examples where we can find how Jesus showed his love towards outcasts, among those including the poor and the needy. And it's important, as you look at the details of the outcasts of life of both these Gospels, Jesus was showing an ongoing concern for the marginalized in society and gives them an important place in his ministry. However, his concern is not just for their spiritual needs, but also their social, economical, physical, and emotional needs as well. Doesn't that encourage you this morning when you think about that? That Jesus is really concerned about where you are, and not only financially, but also too physically. You know, a lot of times in Vital Men, I've had opportunities where I've had chance of being able to gift people, where we go and show those things and we gift them and just to be a blessing. And there's also times we've had times of blessing with people with actual physical gifts of giving them something in which they're in need of. And I think there's nothing greater when you give those opportunities because you see such the need of what's there. But when Jesus, when he talks about the poor, he begins his ministry. And I want you to think for me for a second. We're going to move from Sermon on the Mount, the Mount of Beatitudes. And I want to take you to the place where Jesus goes in Luke chapter 4, where he goes and he opens up the scrolls in the synagogue. He stands up and he reads the scriptures and he hands the book goes over to the prophet Isaiah. And in verses 18 and 19, Jesus reads this from Isaiah. He says this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom from the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It says, after he finished, Jesus sat down, and then he makes bold declarations in verse 21 that this passage of Scripture has been fulfilled in front of their very eyes today. Jesus lays out his mission statement here and the reason why he was sent by God the Father himself. He says he is here to proclaim the good news to the poor. However, in Luke 10, the angels declare when Jesus is born that the good news is for all people, that Jesus also spoke to numerous times of God's love for the world. And this is what we're going to find in the Beatitudes, in the roadmap. See, Jesus, he's wanting to show Matthew the roadmap. But see, the roadmap gives you direction to what I believe are people groups. And in those people groups is where you're going to find the kingdom of heaven, of where it comes together in the midst of the place of life and the struggles that we deal with. I want to say that again. It's important for you to realize this morning when Jesus says, when he talks about that, about people groups, and amongst people groups is where you will find in those groups the kingdom of heaven comes to earth and they come together. Yes, we will have eternal glory with those that serve Jesus and become his disciples. Without a matter of fact, folks, that is factual. But see, aren't you, doesn't it give you encouragement and excite you this morning to think when you can get amongst different people groups in your life and you can see what Jesus does? See, Jesus describes many different types of people here in addition to the poor. He talks about the prisoners. He talks about the blind. He talks about the oppressed. However, he doesn't simply see these as limited to only certain people. Instead, he describes these spiritually conditions that each one of us find ourselves in one way or another, that we are all poor. Isn't that true? That we are all poor. The spiritual condition that we find in ourselves is each one of us finds ourselves that we, again, are poor, imprisoned, blind, and oppressed. It may not be in material or physical terms, excuse me, but in spiritual terms as well. See, folks, Jesus' good news is for everyone. He recognizes that we are all in need of a Savior, and he's written those in detail that we find that throughout the gospel message, throughout the four gospels, that we find the red letter words of which Jesus spoke. And he helps people. And I think it's just so important because as we see in Isaiah 61:1, it also includes in the statement, he sent me up to bind up the brokenhearted. See, Jesus does, although Jesus, he doesn't mention it here when he quotes the passage, but he does minister to those who experience brokenness in many ways with the relationship with God, within ourselves, and also the creation. I think it's important for us as we look at that, where we see, again, in Matthew chapter 5, and it also references it in Luke chapter 6:20, that God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him. And if you go to Luke chapter 6, see, they kind of work back together. And Luke chapter 6 says, Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus writes these words more hard-hitting in the direction, as we look in Luke's version, as he does necessarily in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. He is summarizing over 200 references in the Old Testament where the poor are mentioned in the Bible. He promises that the poor will inherit something far greater than any riches in the world. And he goes on to say that those who suffer now will not suffer in his kingdom. Man, isn't that exciting when you think about that? How about you folks? But that just puts goosebumps in my mind. And again, in Matthew's version, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, by contrast between these two verses, that we see that Jesus says, blessed are those that are poor. Matthew's version seems more typical, metaphorical, talking about spiritually poor. However, Jesus' message in Luke is directly to the point. There is no way around it. Here he means the poor. Jesus even goes further and says, woe to the rich. I think it's important for us today to look at that. We see Jesus coming multiple times to those who are struggling. We find it in Luke 6:20. He says, looking at his disciples, he says, blessed are those of you who are poor. Some have observed that not all disciples are materially poor. Matter of fact, one of them, Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew, who was a tax collector, matter of fact, had money. So look at that. So a lot of times we want to come at folks that have money. Well, I know several people who have money, and they are very, very giving in that. I have a very close friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name this morning, but he is very giving. He has been a vital supporter to Vital Ministries itself. Matter of fact, to the point, I'm going to say this, Umbrella of Mercy, had it not been for his contributions and continuing that, we would not be able to keep going the way that we are. And it's all because as the Lord has blessed him, he has blessed the ministry in which and believes in what we're doing in getting the good news of the gospel out and also reaching men. And I think that's so important today as we go out and we look at life and how that is working, what Jesus is doing. Also, too, here's something else. Tim Keller, he's a noted pastor, and he says this. He suggests that although Jesus says, blessed are the poor in Luke 6:20, we must also become poor in spirit. And I think that's important. When you realize that we, like the poor, have nothing of value before God, then we can receive the gospel and be saved. Keller says the gospel is only for the spirit, is not only for the spiritually poor, but especially for those that are actually poor. And I think that's so important for us today. I can remember many times back in Vital Men and the early on, we used to go the next day after Thanksgiving, we would go up to homeless shelters up in Des Moines. And one specifically, the Iowa Homeless Shelter, we would go. And I couldn't get over all the stories. If you would sit down, this is important. If you ever sit down with any person that you speak with, they always have a story and they have a story to share if you're willing to listen and give the moment of the time to have the story being told to you. But as I was sitting there and I was listening to the multiple stories of the reason why folks were, you know, poor, a lot of things were, you know, self-addictive, sometimes with drugs and alcohol, some with just spending and overwhelming what they once had, and they became actually poor and lost everything. But as I would listen to those stories, sometimes folks, I'd have to be honest with you, it would just literally break my heart. And as I would leave and I just, you know, you always want to go and want to give and do more. But you got to realize that you only have a certain amount of funds as well to help somebody. But as I look at it today, what is it that we can do today? What is it that you can do today to help people who are poor, not only financially, but maybe spiritually? I had an opportunity to speak to a young man this past week in the Oskaloosa. We've had the fair, and on the fair, I also help out with the sheriff's local sheriff's posse here in town, and with our sheriff Russ Van Ritterham. And I got to give him a big shout out this morning. Russ is an amazing man. He leads his men well, and I guarantee Mahaska County is safe under Russ Van Ritterham's watch. He's a man who, without hesitation, he leads. Some of the things that you hear are these horrific stories of people in leadership holding back and not willing to be charged into a situation. That is not Russ. Russ is a man who's going to take get a hold of the action, and he's going to move in action as needed. And again, we're thankful here in Mahaska County to have such a guy as Russ. But when I think about this, one of the young men that was going, he's a very young guy, he's a police officer. And he was sharing with me, he was telling me about his story, that in a month he's actually going to be shipped off over to Ukraine. He's going to do border patrol along the Poland border between that and the Ukraine, of obviously of the war that's going on overseas. But as he was sharing with me, he was also telling me all the before he gets deployed, he was telling me about all his active exercises that he has to do in preparing to get sent over to Poland on the Ukrainian border, and all the stuff that was going on, and all the physical things he had to do, and the preparing mentally. And also, because folks, the truth of the fact is, those men and women who are getting deployed and doing such things are doing it in such a way that if war would break out, they're frontline warriors right out of the bat. And he was saying how much he wanted to be repaired. And I remember in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, the good news of the gospel. Here's your opportunity, Mike. Here we're standing at the sheriff's trailer, but you got to be willing to share and not be afraid. So I looked at the young man. It sounds like you've done everything physically to prepare yourself for battle, for what could possibly happen or what could go down. He says, "Yes, sir, I'm ready." I said, so I looked in his eyes and I asked him this question. But I said, even greater, is your heart ready? And he looks at me, he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "What I mean by that, are you ready? Are you ready in the case, in the midst of the moment, if you would be brought into battle, are you ready within your own heart and your own soul to come before the Lord?" And he looks, a big smile comes across his face, and I just appreciated the moment. And he said, "Yes, sir, my heart is ready. I'm ready both physically, and I'm ready spiritually at the same time." I tell you what, man, that just grabbed my heart. It was a moment, you know, I'm sitting there and again at the sheriff's doing and just helping out. And I love being a part of the sheriff's posse. It gives me an opportunity to be around those men and women who are frontline warriors, those who have to run into battle scenes, run into those horrific moments. But what's more important, folks, as I shared with him, was that he was ready spiritually, that we're all in need. We're all poor spiritually. And in those moments, we ask God for help. And maybe this morning you do have a financial need. You have a need that you've been crying out to the Lord because, man, times are tough. My Bible says, and I'm going to read it again, God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for Him. That is a promise. I hope that you hear my words this morning, that the Lord cry out to Him. He sees the need. He's there ready to meet the need and ready to hear out those who cry out. And I encourage this morning, if that's you, don't be afraid to go to the next steps of whatever it might be. And there's so many different places and different communities. I love it. In Oskaloosa, we have Love Inc. and we have these different organizations that help the poor, those in needy. Man, that's just a great thing. And I'm thankful for those that are willing to help those people. And also, too, up in Pella, The Well, Jason Henry, he's in the head of that up there at The Well in Pella. And I tell you what, they have grown and went into, I believe, in three different counties now. They're in Mahaska County. They're also, too, in another city over in Knoxville. I know they're also in Fairfield. They're also looking at other communities to go into because they realize the need, because it says that in the Bible, that blessed are those that go and help the poor. So if that's you this morning, cry out for the Lord. He'll hear you. Also, those of you who are in need spiritually, He hears your cry. Don't be afraid. Lord, I am spiritually bankrupt. I am poor in need of You. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity for the roadmap. The roadmap that gives us the guide to the kingdom of heaven. Of the place in the midst of the moment of which we live and the struggles that we have on this life can happen, not only in the kingdom of heaven yet to come, but can happen in the kingdom of heaven that comes down and meets us right where we are on earth. That's why You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ. You sent Your Son because You saw the need, Father. You saw the need of Your people, of Your creation in need, and You needed to send Your Son to be the atonement for the one that would go and die on the cross for our sins and shed His blood, and that would raise 3 days later. Father, thank You for sending Your Son. Jesus, thank You for coming. Thank You for seeing our needs. Thank You for giving us roadmaps that direct our hearts back to You. Lord, I pray that this morning, as somebody in the sound of my voice is crying out, I pray, Holy Spirit, we believe in the Trinity, that You hear it and You will speak with that sheer, still, small voice that is so loud at times that we hear. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You. We love You. In Your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Folks, we're going to continue this teaching series, The Roadmap That Leads to the Kingdom of Heaven. We got some exciting weeks ahead. You don't want to miss out on that. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.